Hi, this is Mark Marilyn, and you're listening to Gyno.
Digging Roots and All Night for the Light. Winding down that block for your listening pleasure on today's edition of Gyno. If you're just now tuning in, it's your host, Brett, maybe checking in with you. I'm having an important conversation today with Willie Dunn's son, Lawrence. Now, again, if you're just now tuning in, Willie Dunn was an important indigenous activist songwriter. He was a musician's musician. And in this block here, we're going to talk about some of the musicians that he played with, some of the musicians that he influenced. And since we just highlighted one from Digging Roots, I guess that provides a great starting point right there. Of course, Raven Kanetakta was a good friend of Willie. Yeah,
that's right.
They had had plans, it's my understanding, to kind of do an album together and whatnot. But your father's network really extended. And as we were getting caught up, he really was hanging out with the likes of Taj Mahal and Richie Havens. What can you tell me about this?
One of my earliest memories is being at the Mariposa Folk Festival with my father and trying to see the stage and him telling me that's Taj Mahal up on stage, and I couldn't see, so he put me on his shoulders, and I watched Taj Mahal with my dad, and that's that's one of my earliest memories that I can pull from my mind. From the, it's full of cobwebs, but it's very special to me. And Willie had a lot of great friends in the industry. He knew John Lee Hooker. He introduced me to John Lee Hooker probably in the late 90s. When he came to town, he was passing through town, and we met him backstage. That's a special memory for me as well. And he spoke fondly of Richie Havens and Brownie McGee and Sonny Terry. These are the people that kind of that mentored him in his own way and helped him shape his direction in his career.
As we were mentioning, and I'm going to do my part to make sure that people are aware of who Willie Dunn was and his music, because again, as we were kind of mentioning, the further back you go, the harder it is to speak about important issues. Now, the majority of the public right now is kind of feeling like the boarding school issue is a brand new thing. Of course, in indigenous communities, we know damn well that that was never the case. And, we are still reeling and trying to rebuild from some of what damage they had intentionally done to try and break us down. And a good example of your dad being at the forefront of that fight, we're talking 1971, 1972. You're still seeing bubblegum love songs on the AM that are getting radio play and whatnot. Of course, Buffy St. Marie had already been blacklisted by this point. She's, all of that had already transpired. And here comes your dad, and he writes a song called Charlie Wenjack. Now, Charlie, for listeners out there, was a 12-year-old indigenous boy. He was at the Kenora, Ontario Residential School, and he ran away from those horrible conditions, and he died of starvation. Your dad went on to write this song. Do you feel that the political tones of that song were way too ahead of its time?
I'd say it was right on time, but it wasn't listened to anybody at the time. It might have been one of the reasons that Willie faced such resistance in his career, because McLean's wrote an article about him around the time that he released that and called him one of the most dangerous men with a guitar. And, that was in a national magazine that was read by everybody.
Sure.
And that was one of the public perceptions of my father, that he was the enemy when he was trying to bring up indigenous issues and talk about the injustice we were facing as a people. I mean, one of the other songs my father wrote around the same time was called Rosemary Roper. And that song was on the compilation Who Are the Ones, released by CBC. And that song is a brutal, brutal song about several people who killed a Native woman, and it precedes the whole missing, murdered Indigenous women issue, the red dress issue that we're faced across the country, that we've just become aware of in the past 5-6 years, and that has been strongly denied by right-wing politicians and very much not taken as seriously as it should be by left-leaning politicians. On both sides of the aisle, there's not enough support for our issues, and I don't know. It would be very difficult to dig up a copy of a Rosemary Roper, but I strongly recommend that you do and that you listen to that song, because it's a very important song, and I think more people need to hear it.
Well, I'm going to go on the search right now and try and find that. In fact, I'll do that while we're listening to this next block of tunes. Thank you, Lawrence. We do have a little bit more time to come back and chat. I appreciate you shedding a little bit of light on Willie Dunn's legacy, because I think this is something that is far too common throughout indigenous communities, those who do try to sing about and talk about. And I don't think it's been talked about enough. And I would almost guarantee you that just this conversation right here is going to help people not feel so alone and not feel so isolated, because of course that's the most dangerous psychological tool right there, is when you feel alone. And and that's what we're trying to do, is build those bridges right now, and there's no better way to do that. Willie Dunn uses his guitar as that drum beat, and it's apparent on all of these songs that we're going to be listening to today. So as I was mentioning towards the beginning of our show, I am going to be playing Leanne Badassumadeh Simpson's take on Willie Dunn's I Pity the Country. country. It's found on her 2021 release, Theory of Ice. I also have one coming from John Trudell in this block, but kicking things off is a very, very poignant song that you need to listen to. From Creation Never Sleeps, Creation Never Dies, it's Willie Dunn's Charlie Wenjack, today on Gyno.
Walk on, little Charlie, walk on through the snow. Moving down the railway line, trying to make it home. And he's made it 40 miles, 600 left to go. It's a long old lonesome journey, shuffling through the snow. Lonely as a single star in the skies above. His father in a mining camp, his mother in the ground. And he's looking for his dad, and he's looking out for love. Just a lost little boy by the railroad track, moving homeward bound. He's a getting mighty hungry. It's been a time since last he's ate. And as the night grows colder, he wonders of his fate. For his legs are racked with pains, he staggers through the night. As he sees through his troubled eyes, his hands are turning white. Upon my face, and are the stars exploding down the misty aisle of space? Who's that coming down the track, walking up to me, her arms outstretched and waiting, waiting just for me? Little Charlie Wenjack, shuffling through the snow. Moving down the railway line, trying to make it home. And he's made it 40 miles, 600 left to go. It's a long, old, lonesome journey, shuffling through the snow.
Lapses of remembering. What else can I think about what can't be undone, about the closet of regret? While my mind keeps going, weeping isn't enough, and crying really is a crying shame. That doesn't have much meaning in these eruptions of the scars. My heart is looking for a place. These scenes, even the hurt hurts, knowing there is no way out. Time is a bandage that leaks. Glimpses of memories and touch.
Lapses of remembering. What else can I think? Can't be undone. Closet of regrets. While my mind keeps going, weeping ain't enough. Crying really is a crying shame.
Then my soul starts falling. So Sometimes I sit in the sun and pray and reach to the stars. Like a drink without a drunk, or a future without a dream. Today gets farther and farther away, and those things I need to tell you have got me talking to the wind. Maybe I'm asking the wind to hold me, pretending it's you, and time doesn't exist. Lapses of remembering. What else can I think about what can't be undone? About the closet of regret.
This is Samantha Crane, and you're listening to Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Van Badassamu Say Simpson's I Pity the Country from her Theory of Ice album. It's her take on Willie Dunn's song of the same name. Before that, we heard some John Trudell. And Lawrence, you know, as we were talking, as the music was playing and whatnot, you kind of had another one of those moments. You were like, as a matter of fact, John is another person that I met through Willie. So tell me a little bit more. I mean, the listeners got to know this. This is super cool.
I believe it was 1999. I went to Toronto with my father. He was performing for on the Harbourfront. He was opening for the Neville Brothers. And after his performance, concurrently going on beside the concert venue was a film festival being put on by Gary Farmer. It was, I believe, it was the Aboriginal Voices Film Festival, or the one put on by Aboriginal Voices Radio. I can't remember exactly, but. One of the guests of honor at that film festival was John Trudell, and Willie was hanging out with John afterwards. And then later on that evening, my dad asked me and my friend Gabriel Daniels. He said, "Can you guys hang out with John tonight? John, he's here by himself, and he wants to go out and have a good time tonight. And you know, I'd like a couple young, strong guys to have his back just in case, you know." So we're like, "Yeah, sure, that'd be great." We thought it was like an honor to hang out with John. So we ended up going to the Colored Stone, a pool hall owned by Duke Redbird, and we ended up hanging there all evening. And who came along with John Trudell but Jim Jarmusch, the film director. So it's actually a very treasured memory of mine, hanging out with John Trudell, Jim Jarmusch, and Gabriel Daniels at Duke Redbird's bar and playing pool. And yeah, it was a special weekend for sure. And I'm thanking you for playing John Trudell, because it brought that memory clearly back to my mind.
These are the types of people that are befitting of your father's legacy. Of course, he's not the only one who put it all on the line to say these important messages. But it is important to remember that these individuals did it at a time when it was much, much harder to do that. And they kind of blazed that trail for us to hopefully, you know, continue to pick up that fight, because there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. We still have a lot of work to do in overcoming the tragedy of the residential schools. It's not a situation of, hey, just get over it, that was in the past, you know. And here's the interesting thing, where their logic kind of turns in on themselves and whatnot. And I do mean, you know, those particular people who are more racist and just want to spew things like that. It's because, you know, it was people that came before them that intentionally did this and
that's right,
beat us up, smashed us apart and everything like that. And now it's their descendants who look at us and say, well, look at the pitiful Indians and everything like that, you know, and trying to distance themselves from the damage that was done. So obviously there's a lot more that has to be. But, you know, I am particularly grateful for what Willie Dunn did and what John Trudell did, what Buffy St. Marie continues to do. I asked her to marry me. I don't know. I didn't tell you that. Yeah. And Buffy just cracked up. And she says, "No, and your wife told me to tell you that." So that was one of my earlier gyno memories as well. So, again, Lawrence, thank you so much for sharing some of these memories that you have of your father's legacy.
Thanks for giving me an opportunity to speak about it, speak about my father.
These are important songs. Once again, the compilation is Creation Never Sleeps, Creation Never Dies. Where can people find this at, Lawrence?
Well, you're going to have to look for it in some of the record stores around Canada, because it's sold out on the Light in the Attic website. It's a collectible now. Hopefully there might be another repressing coming down the line. And you never know, there might be more releases of more obscure material coming out.
Well, keep your eyes open. This isn't the last that you're going to hear Willie Dunn on Gyno. In the meantime, I do have some more great tracks coming your way today. Thanks again, Lauren, for joining me today, and I hope we can catch up soon.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hope to speak with you again soon.
Here is a ballad by Willie Dunn about Rosemary Roper, whom he describes as a Canadian Indian victim of white injustice, of her death at the hands of white men, and the leniency afforded the latter. Rosemary Roper, her eyes closed forever, lays in her slumber beneath the dark pines, and standing above her were those who had slain her, the three drunken white men from town. The courtroom was crowded, all the people were there, the atmosphere rang like a spring county fair, the charges were read by the district attorney to the tune of murder in the second degree. Rosemary Roper, her eyes closed forever, left in the dump without any clothes, Her body was broken and marked with abrasions and left in the cold to wither and die. The charge was reduced from the second degree, then manslaughter, and then to common assault. Two were let off with $200 fines, and the other got off scot-free. But Rosemary Roper, her eyes closed forever, lays in her slumber beneath the dark pines. And standing above her, the three men who killed her, three drunken white men from town.
Rosemary Roper, her eyes closed forever, lays in her slumber beneath the dark pines, and standing above her were those who had slain her, three drunken white boys from town. The courtroom was crowded, all the people were there, the atmosphere rung like the Spring County Fair. The charges were read by the district attorney to the tune of murder in the second degree. But Rosemary Roper, her eyes closed forever, left in a dump without any clothes. Her body was broken and marked with abrasion and left in the cold to wither and die. The charge was reduced from the second degree, from manslaughter then to common assault. Two were let off with two minor fines, and the other got off scot-free. But Rosemary Roper, her eyes closed forever, lays in her slumber beneath the dark pines, and standing above her were the three men who killed her, three drunken white boys from town.
For this and past episodes of Gyno, log on to gynomusic.fm or nv1.org. Also, to discover more music from incredible Indigenous artists, be sure to check out the Native Artist Directory at nativeartistdirectory.com.
Ride this train to Kinzua Dam, around about the turn of the 19th century. There was a meeting held at Independence Hall. Cornplant, the chief of the Seneca, Red Jacket, and General George Washington. A map was laid out and a line was drawn, and it was promised that from the Allegheny River here north and east and west shall be Indian land for as long as the moon shall rise, as long as the rivers flow, as long as the sun will shine, as long as the grass shall grow. Well, the Seneca is an Indian tribe of the Iroquois Nation. On the New York-Pennsylvania line, you'll find their reservation. After the U.S. Revolution, Cornplant was the chief. He told his tribe, these men you can trust. That was his true belief. Well, they went down to Independence Hall, and there a treaty signed that promised peace with the USA and Indian rights combined. George Washington gave his signature, the government gave its hand, and they said that now and forevermore that this is Indian land. As long as the moon shall rise, as long as the rivers flow, as long as the sun will shine, as long as the grass shall grow. On the Seneca Reservation, there is much sadness now. Washington's treaty has been broken, and there is no hope, no how. All across the Allegheny River, they've thrown up a dam. It will flood the Indian country, a proud day for Uncle Sam. But it broke that ancient treaty,
with a politician's grin. It will flood the Indian graveyards. Corn plant, can you swim? Earth is mother to the Seneca, so they're trampling sacred ground. Change the mint green earth to black mud flats as honor bubbles down. As long as the moon shall rise. My brother, are you thirsty? As long as the rivers flow. My brother, are you warm? As long as the sun will shine. As long as the grass shall grow.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.